The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com.
KMED, here's Bill Meyer.
Good morning. It is Monday, a rainy Monday morning, too. Not complaining about that for sure. About 55 degrees. We'll see maybe low 70s. That's about it. But join the conversation if you want to set a fire on something. I know that it's still technically fire season, right? We're not over fire season, even though it's raining. They're still citing people out there for doing burn piles out there. So don't set anything on fire yet. Wait a few days because you have to wait until, well, never mind common sense. The whole idea is that you must wait for the statement from officials. Because we all know that the United States of America was founded on officials. Officials in a pliant population. By the way, not saying that, you know, it's not a good idea to follow a lot of them, but you know, it does kind of crack me up to a certain extent when you have people getting tickets for burn piles when things are pretty moist and there's really not a lot of dryness out there. But, you know, common sense versus, you know, what officialdom will say can be very, very different. And I get that. I get that. All right. We can talk about anything on your mind this morning. 770-563-3770-KMED. Good time to call to be earlier because I'm going to be a little guest heavy. A little guest heavy this Monday. Let me give you an idea. We'll talk with Joey Chester in a few minutes from Federation for American Immigration Reform. We don't really talk about the hard costs of illegal immigration and the illegal aliens that festoon Oregon. And I was doing some figuring out the other day, just doing from the back of a cocktail napkin sort of calculations, is that every taxpayer in Oregon pays about $500 a year for each illegal immigrants in the state of Oregon, about $500. I'll talk with Joey, see what his numbers are saying. California's even more like that. And it's not nearly what other states have to put up with. Other states have much lower costs, but we have a lot of tax money that ends up going to illegal immigrants here in the state of Oregon. We'll talk with Joey about that. A little bit of news you can use here. We had the big Great American Shakeout, Oregon Shakeout last week. Greg Roberts will be joining me from RogueWeather.com. We'll talk about some preparation issues because he wanted to do that on Friday. We didn't have time on the outdoor report. Phoenix Mayor Terry Baker is also going to be dropping by a little bit later, around 7:30 or so. And the left is really making a play to take over Phoenix and get rid of any kind of common sense. In other words, they want to take it to Ashland. And I get it. The communist cancer kind of spreading from Ashland out, you know, that sort of thing. South County has always had these kind of issues. Phoenix, Talent, Ashland. But it's kind of spreading from Ashland to Talent to Phoenix and, of course, wanting to take it elsewhere, too. But we'll have a conversation about the politics that's going on there. Dr. Dennis Powers will also join me today with Past Meets Present, where Past Meets Present, as we profile the Maddox brothers and Rose. Now, that's an interesting bit of Southern Oregon history. And also, Josephine County Commissioner John West, who finds himself under the threat of recall. It is a very, very drama-filled kind of politics right now going on in Josephine County. We'll have a little conversation about that, and he has some things to say. So we'll have some good conversation about that. All right, 770-563-3770-KMED. By the way, it was just an interesting weekend in the news cycle. I wasn't paying a whole lot of attention to it. I had to get some stuff done around the house yesterday, and I spent a lot of time out there. But couldn't help but notice that Kamala Harris, I think, sort of stepped in, and she was at, giving a speech someplace. And this guy yells out, I think Christ is King and Jesus is Lord. And here's how it went. It's hard to say. It's hard to hear what she said. But what she said, and it's been reported now, is that you're at the wrong rally. So I guess if you're a Christian or a person of faith and you're at a Kamala Harris rally, you probably are at the wrong rally. But I don't know. Is that a good something to say here in the final couple of weeks here before the presidential election? I don't know. Meanwhile, you have President Trump. Former President Trump's out there in a Pennsylvania McDonald's. And of course, he's trolling Kamala Harris because he says that Kamala's lying about the McDonald's experience. So she claims that she did. The thing is, though, it's really up to Kamala to prove that she did it, All right. You know, not to, for people to prove she did not, you know, having to prove the negative. So we'll see. But here's how it went. And he was manning, you know, doing the fry cooking type thing and manning the drive-in. And yeah, he owned the media because of this, but it was great.
Really. I could do this all day. I wouldn't mind this job. I like this job. I think I might come back and do it again.
Thank you.
Look at that.
Thank you, Mr. President. You made it possible for ordinary people like us to meet you.
You're not ordinary.
I mean, thank you so much.
You are not ordinary. I can see.
We pray for you.
Yeah, say what's that? You know, the guys in the drive-thru are you know, saying, we'll pray for you, and we ordinary people. And you notice how what Don said, he says, you're not ordinary. You're not ordinary. Charming guy. Don knows how to work the crowd, and it continued. I guess there was a someone from Brazil that was in line here, too.
A lot of fun here, everybody.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Look at all the fake news of it. Hello, everybody.
You can take this, right?
And you know this is compliments of Trump, okay?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, he bought their lunch.
He's a president.
Yes.
Please don't let the United States become Brazil, my native Brazil.
Oh, we'll keep it good.
Please, please.
We're going to make it better than ever, okay?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. It's a pleasure, Mr. President.
Boy, yeah, don't let the United States become like Brazil. In other words, don't let us go third world. That's interesting. Then he ends up going to the Steelers game. He walks into Yinzerland. Now, if you ever hear that term, Yinzer, the reason was, now, of course, I was born in the Pittsburgh area, and around there, you know, you don't say you say Yin's coming over to, you know, to watch the Steelers game. You know, that's the way it would be. Yin's coming over. You coming over, Yin's, going downtown to see the Steelers game. Well, he ended up going to the Steelers game, and he was in one of the suites. I think he was with one of the football players, one of the former Steelers. I don't remember the whole details, but they started the chant going at the Pittsburgh Steelers game. So there we go. We have Kamala telling a guy that says, Christ is King, Jesus is Lord, and hey, you're at the wrong rally. And in the meanwhile, Trump goes out there and serves McDonald's, works the drive-thru, and leads a USA cheer in Pennsylvania. So I don't know, maybe Pennsylvania's looking better for him than you think. You just never know. You can't really tell at this point. Although I know that the momentum does appear to be in Donald's favor. 18 minutes after 6, what's on your mind? 770-5633. I'll just go to the phones here just because it's Monday. It's a little rainy. Let's chase the rain away. Hi, who's this? Good morning. Welcome.
Good morning, Bill. It's Francine.
Hey, Francine, what's on your mind, huh?
Well, I just sent you an email but didn't give you time to read it because I really want to talk about this. A friend of mine in Texas sent me an email this morning talking about how the machines, the voting machines, are people are claiming that they're changing their votes on the machine. And I found about 5 or 6 papers, all you know, links, all claiming, covering the story.
Yes, another Dominion issue,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And well, here's what I'm wondering: could this be some kind of a psyop that they deliberately are letting this happen, or they were even, you know, planting some of the people and the stories and stuff like that, so that when they really start changing everything at the count, that, you know, they can say, oh, no, see, we took care of it. You know, we're not letting, you know what I mean?
You know, it could be. You know, a lot of the issues right now, I think, and believe me, I have no doubt that stuff like this is going on. I think the main issue is that they're trying to discourage voting. They're trying to discourage.
Yeah.
They're trying to discourage. I think that is part of it. You run a bit of this right now, and the hope is that you end up getting Republicans who are already used to being the baby harp seals getting beaten by the media. You know, beaten by like a club of the media every 4 years, and then they're thinking that it's not. Why should I bother? It's not worth it. Not worth it.
The Hill mentions that even Democrat voters are saying it picked Ted Cruz for them instead of what's his name, O'Rourke. You know.
Well, that's interesting. And, so I guess it's all what the CIA directors want, huh? Is that what's going on?
I think this is intentional to create a bunch of havoc, and then so they can claim to have fixed it. I don't know. I don't trust anything.
Yeah, it's hard. It's hard to trust much of anything in the institutions right now. The one thing I can say is that there has to be a good enough turnout to overcome any particular hinky right now. So that's the role. Okay, that's the rule.
Well, we'll see. I just wanted to bring this to people's attention. So when you do go, well, we don't have machines here, but if you have friends that use the machines, tell them to look before they, you know, at how it came out instead of just counting on looking at the word.
Hey, at least they're getting receipts, right?
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, think about it that way, huh? Thanks for the call, Francine. 770-5633. Let me go to the next line. Hi, good morning. This is Bill. Who's this?
Hi.
Hi, Cherry. How are you this morning?
I'm perfect. I just saw another free dish movie.
Hey, before you do that, though, I just want to ask. Yeah. Your house is the one on Leonard that has all of the Republican signs, right? Is that you?
Republican?
Yeah.
I have a flag.
Oh, you don't have, you're not, did you know there's that one house on Leonard around the corner from where I live there that has about every Republican sign out there in the front yard that's possible? I don't know if you've seen that.
No, that is, I don't have any signs.
Oh, I was wondering if that was where you lived. I wasn't sure. Okay, I was just driving by and I thought maybe it's you. Okay, now back to the free dish movie. Go ahead. Let's hear it.
I was driving by to try to find your house.
Oh, you were? You're stalking me, are you? Okay.
Right. No. But anyway.
Yeah, you would have seen me doing something really, boy, it was really hot. Man, I was changing the oil yesterday in the PT. That was my big day. It was a very exciting day at the Meyer household. Okay.
I was trying to find a pit and a pendulum or so. Oh, you said you're covering your pool or your
I did have tarp down. I guess there's been a little delay in getting the free dirt from the construction going on up the street on Viewpoint in my house, in my neighborhood. So we'll see. Hopefully we'll get it soon and we'll get that that money pit filled in the backyard and move on. Okay?
That's great. Well, first of all, how's your cat?
Charlie got a little afraid the other day. He's going through a little skittish mode. He's sort of in teenager mode, and he got the door. Somehow the door to the back door came open. Matt went out. Charlie got scared because Charlie likes the house environment very tightly controlled, and he was there with his tail looking like a big pipe cleaner, you know, just terrified. And so yesterday was kind of a skittish thing. But he's still eating like crazy, but he's going through a little bit of a scaredy cat phase right now. Okay?
I've been there. When we tried to move our older cat, oh, my God, he was bristled. I've never seen anything like
yeah.
it. He was double the size, and, oh, my gosh, it was just terrible.
Yeah, but the thing is, though, I don't think Charlie's going to get big. He's like 6.5 months old right now, almost 7 months old. And mm-hmm. Matt is still, I would say, more than double his size at this point. I don't think he was the runt of the litter. I don't think he's going to be a big cat. I think he's going to be a little stub at this point.
Aww.
We'll see.
Probably about 13 pounds or so as he gets older.
No, Matt's like 13, 14 pounds right now. I'd say Charlie is about 6 right now. That's all.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, he's a little guy.
Cat. Mm-hmm. Our cat's 20 pounds.
Holy boy. Take the feed bowl away from him from time to time, would you? Okay?
Yeah, I'm trying. We are trying. He's a big boy.
Well, you know how the cats resemble their owners, right?
No. You're right.
I'm just hitting you. But, hey, give me a quick one on the movie, though, from Dish, though, before you take off. Huh?
It was called The Wasp, mm-hmm. and it was really good. Oh, my God, I had nightmares and everything. You know, about a happy couple. And there's not much more to say about that because it's obvious what it's about. But it is very suspenseful. And it had this gal on, Natalie Dormer from the Game of Thrones, uh-huh. Queen Marjorie, Tyrell Lannister. So it was real. She was excellent.
So you give that a couple of thumbs up, cherry thumbs up on the movie review, right?
I think it's very suspenseful. It was, oh my God, it was more than I bargained for.
Okay, good. And now, once again, the name of that was The Wasp. This is your thumbnail review, right? The Wasp.
Yes, it is.
All right. Hey, I appreciate the report there. Thank you so much. All right. We'll see you. 6:25. Let me grab another call here. Hi, good morning, KMED. Who's this? Morning. Hello.
Bill, what's up?
That is you. Good morning.
Hey, it's Matt.
Hey, Matt. How you doing? What's on your mind, huh?
I'm good. Hey, Sue, your guest on immigration, Is he just going to be addressing the financial cost of immigration?
We're going to talk about the hard costs, yeah. What else did you want to dig into, though, if you wanted to? Because that's what I was going to, because there were some reports coming out there. People just have no idea how much it really cost them each year. They really don't.
Along with anything else.
Mm-hmm.
But so I'm interested in the political influence on black voters. I don't think black voters fully understand that if Harris gets reelected, they're going to lose all their political influence. Because one of the complaints that I've been hearing, and it's anecdotal, about black voters going to Trump is they're saying, we're just getting sick of every 2 to 4 years. They come to us, they court our vote, and they don't do anything. And they've just been doing it for 60, 70 years, and we keep voting for them anyway.
They have assumed then that they automatically get the black vote. Yeah, it hasn't been working out well for them.
Well, how's it going to work for them if we end up with, look, I told you before, I believe we have closer to 40 million illegal aliens working here, including visa overstays. But when you have a group that's massive, let's just say 20 million, and you don't have to court their vote, they literally are going to vote for you in every single election, all of a sudden, black Americans are going to start saying, you know what? They're really stiffing us now.
Hmm.
They don't care if we ever vote again. And I get the feeling that there's a lot of cartel money that's finding its way into political pockets. I'm sure it's been laundered before it gets there. And I know it's not conspiracy theory Thursday.
No, I think that's a reasonable assumption because you look at a lot of Congress that tends to not want to approach this. And I've theorized for years that there must be a significant percentage of the Congress, and I don't like saying it doesn't cheer me to say that, that is most likely under the sway of cartels or the people who are bought and paid for by the cartels, and so, you know, kind of doing the dirty work for them. So no, I don't think you're crazy to bring that up at all, because you just have to look at how does it behave, how does Congress behave when it comes to illegal immigration. Obviously they want it from the looks of it, otherwise we wouldn't have it.
Well, we know it's on purpose.
Yeah,
this isn't poor management. This is spectacular management of something harming the country. But I'm just going to leave you with one more thing. For people who were someone who might put a yard sign in their front yard, I would encourage people to begin making up signs, if you're a Trump supporter, that say, no more wars, vote peace, vote Trump.
All right.
Make up your own sign.
Very good. You don't need to get the MAGA one, right? You don't need to pay him.
Yep. Oh.
All right. Hey, no problem with that. Hey, you know, a question, since you were talking about black voters and things like that. Now, why is it okay for black voters or Hispanic voters or Asian voters or every other voter to vote for their racial interests? But if you but you try to do that for white voters, that's bad. Why is that?
Well, we all know that whites are Satan.
Oh. Oh, so, okay.
You know,
am I satanic by even bringing up the question? You never know.
It's funny because I've lived here for 31 years. I grew up in Southern California, and I had friends of all different races. We never talked about race in the 70s, and it never came up.
I don't remember. I don't remember talking about it much either. It was kind of an afterthought. But I'll tell you, when you end up having the system that tries to make everything about race, well, you can't blame people then for retreating to their... I mean, talk about a divide-and-conquer strategy,
well,
right?
Bill, let me ask you a question. Do you feel like that argument is beginning to slip, that people are beginning to say, hey, wait a minute, that maybe we could get back to a different place? Because if Trump picks up 45 to 55% of the vote...
Mm-hmm.
That
moves the needle. Yeah, it really does move the needle, Matt. I appreciate the call. Thanks for making it, too, all right? It's a 6:30 at KMED.
Are you buying or selling a house this year? Here's a
7 KMED.
6:32, Vicky's in the Applegate. Vicky, you wanted to key off on what Matt was mentioning just a moment ago. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Doing well. What are you thinking?
Well, I also moved up here from California back in the late 70s, and I had never really experienced, because it's such a diverse culture and different people in California, I never really dealt with people that were prejudiced or racist in California until the Vietnamese started coming in. And
That's interesting. So after the Vietnam War, the close of that, then you saw some
right,
more of that creeping in? Interesting.
Yeah, and I thought, oh my gosh, this is like the first time I've ever, you know, noticed anybody being racist. Well, when we moved up here, of course, we didn't know anybody, and we soon found out that the first black family that moved here to the Valley was Chief Willis and his family. His wife and oldest daughter, well, his only daughter, worked at Food for Less. I don't know if you've ever met them, but we were tickled pink to find out that they had moved up here. My dad was in the Navy, and we were all stationed at the same time in Oakland. And so when we moved up here, we were like, oh, thank God, we know somebody. Color doesn't matter to me. It's what the people do, how they act, the respect, what they think they're entitled to.
Yeah. Well, I think culture matters. Culture matters more than anything else. Culture and behavior. Okay.
Right. But I had never been, you know, I had never had any racial anything towards me. Mm. But when we moved up here, you just literally needed to be a California. Didn't matter what color you were.
Yeah.
People up here back then.
I would dare say there was probably more bigotry to someone coming from California than whatever color they were. Truth be told.
Yeah.
Honestly, if you had to pick of something to be bigoted about, that would happen a lot. No, I didn't really come from California. Hey, wait a minute. What's that license plate there? I don't pay attention. You know what I'm getting at, right? You're having fun. I'm having fun with that one.
It's just kind of ironic that it's full circle, because now, being an Oregonian, I wasn't born here, but I consider myself an Oregonian.
Yeah, Oregon's home.
Now we're like, oh my God, more Californians are coming up here. What the hell? You know, they need to just.
Well, because in some cases, some of the culture that has happened, I think a lot of the resentment of Californians moving in, it's not just the political. It's not, and some of it's political too. Let's be honest. I think there is a certain part of that. If you're going to come up here to say, boy, you know, leftism has destroyed Oregon, and then the problem with Oregon is that it's just not doing leftism right. Well, then that's not very helpful. Right now.
Well, right.
You know?
That's my fear, is that there's people moving all over to red states. Enough of them. They're bringing their plants, their house designs, their cars, their attitudes.
Well, I even wonder about my own daughter sometimes, Vicky, because my daughter ended up moving to Florida. And of course, she's a committed hard lefty. Right. She just is. She's a committed cat lady for Kamala, I guess. I don't know if she has cats. That's all. But in all seriousness, you know, you wonder, it's like, will she be influenced by Florida's culture, or is the attempt going to be to change Florida to be more blue? I don't know yet.
I think a lot of that's going on. Unfortunately, they want to get away from what they don't like in their home state.
But they won't connect what made their home state go wrong. And yet one of the first things Sarah did when she called me up here, Vicky, was talking about, oh my gosh, you know, I have the same level of pay here, and I have, you know, $200 a month more in my paycheck than I did over in Oregon. And I said, okay, that's called income tax, sweepy. You know?
Yeah.
And you don't have it there.
I told her,
don't mess it up. I even told her, don't mess the state up, because you love this right now. You're seeing the benefit of it. And there's a reason, a point of view, an ideological point of view brought Florida to that point. Okay.
I'm praying that many, many people that are trying to get out of the rat race, wherever they're coming from, appreciate the beauty of Oregon itself, and the benefit you get when you get to a red state. So I'm praying to God that people don't just come up and go, "Ooh, this is so nice," but yet.
If it was just a little more progressive, it would be even better than it is now. All right, Vicky, we got it. We're on the same page there. Joey Chestnut, he joins me here in a couple of minutes, and we're going to. Did I say Joey Chestnut? Did I get that right? Is it right? Yeah, Joey Chester, not Joey Chestnut. Joey Chestnut, I think, wasn't that a actor or a country singer? I don't know. Joey Chester, we're going to talk with Joey here in a couple of minutes about illegal immigration aspects.
Are you using extension cords outside?
News Talk 106.3 KMED.
20 before 7. Joey Chester, communications manager with the Federation for American Immigration Reform, joins me right now. Joey, always good talking with you. How are you today?
Hey, it's great to be with you, Bill. How are you?
I'm doing well, doing well. Wanted to, you know, there's been a lot of talk and focus in this election cycle about illegal immigration. And, of course, Oregon is just filled with it. And we have motor voter, and it's caused all sorts of particular issues. Whether we can get this fixed anytime soon, I don't know. But I was hoping to, at some point, what's great about Federation for American Immigration Reform is that you put out a series of reports all the time in detailing the real costs, the real numbers of what goes on here. And what is the actual cost to Oregon every year, which would be Oregon taxpayers when it comes to illegal immigration in our particular state? And I know that Newsweek ended up doing an article based on your reporting on this issue out on the West Coast. So what's the story this day?
So we estimate that Oregon, and this is an estimate from last year, and so this number has only gone up, that there are an estimated 181,000 illegal aliens living in Oregon. And the cost to Oregon taxpayers from those illegal aliens is $1.47 billion.
Okay, so that's even more than I thought. I had an old report from you, you know, sitting in my files here. So was it $1.47 billion, huh? Wow.
Yeah, and like I said, and that has only gone up. And so the average cost to Oregon residents per legal alien is a little over $6,000. So it is a massive number, and that's why, you know, I know you've heard it a million times, and so have your listeners, that every state is a border state.
Mm-hmm.
But when you think about the cost to taxpayers, it really is true that every state is a border state. Even if you're not seeing illegal aliens every day, if you're not seeing a crime every day, this cost is unending. It is yearly, and it is only going up.
Joey, what I was wondering about is that particular statistic. Was $6,000 what, per immigrant per year? Is that the way that's looking in subsidies overall? Is that what you're...
Yes, so per illegal alien per year. Mm-hmm. And that's from education, police, legal, and corrections, health care, public assistance, general government expenses to take care of illegal aliens. So it covers, you know, basically all public spending on illegal aliens in the state.
All right. Now, I ended up doing a quick back of the cocktail napkin sort of thing, and I found out that there are approximately 2 million taxpayers in the state of Oregon, about 2 million, right? And now we're talking about people who actually file returns, and so about half the people file returns and the other people do not. So every person who files a tax return pays, on average, $735 a year, is what I figured out. Just giving me the number that you using the number that you just gave me. Okay, so every taxpayer, in order to, I guess, have what the motel rooms cleaned and the crops picked, though, pays an extra tax of $735 each year. That's real money, isn't it? For each individual doing that, paying taxes, that's real.
That is real money, and I think that anyone, especially in this economy, would love to have an extra $700 and some per year. That's not an insignificant amount of money. And the other thing, too, I think the education part is huge, because education is the biggest expense that we're talking about. Because what happens is, when you have an illegal alien that enters a school, or a child of an illegal alien, and, you know, maybe that person is from Afghanistan, and now all of a sudden they're dropped off at a rural school in mm-hmm. Oregon, and they enroll. Well, that school now has to hire a teacher that specifically speaks that language and can translate the education for that student. And so say you even have, you know, four or five different languages in a school, and all of a sudden that's five extra teachers that you have to hire, and those teachers come at a more significant cost due to their specialty. That is a huge burden on school districts. And then the more illegal aliens you add to a school, the larger the class sizes become, and there's concerns with that about quality of education. So I cannot stress just how big of an issue the education issue is when it comes to illegal immigration and the cost of it.
Is the majority of that $6,000 per year on average per illegal immigrant, is most of that, is the vast majority of that education?
Yes. So how it breaks down for the total spending in Oregon, there's $860 million spent on education.
Okay.
Out of the $1.47 billion, there's about $222 million on the justice system, and then the rest falls into a variety of health care and public assistance. But education, and that's across the board in every state. Education is the number one driver of the cost. And it has a lot of people questioning right now. You know, generally, it has been decided that illegal aliens and illegal alien children are entitled to a publicly funded education in the United States. And there's folks out there right now saying, you know, what do we do with that? Do we just not allow illegal alien children to attend schools? Do we charge them to attend schools? There's a big debate and discussion right now because this cost is just so massive.
Well, you also have to look at the statistics of Oregon education, and we're almost at the bottom of the barrel in the state of Oregon. Now, I don't know if there's a connection necessarily or a solid connection between, hey, lots of illegal immigrants and, hey, we're number 46, number 47, depending on who you talk about, in educational achievement. But it's probably not no influence. Maybe that's the way of looking at that, Joey.
I guarantee that there can't be no influence from that, because one thing you have to think about, and it's not the fault of these kids, but they...
Oh, no. No one's blaming the kids. I mean, you know, the illegal aliens are reacting naturally and just positively for the, you know, the incentives that are given, you know, to them to come here. There's very little penalty for coming here for the most part. So it's like, off you go. And we're a sanctuary state, too, on top of that. No one's going to really touch you about, you know, being, you know, an illegal alien. That's not the big deal at all. So, yeah, we're not blaming them, but... Yet we have to also be realistic about how it is affecting native-born kids in the schools right now that find themselves under great pressure. And the teachers' union, of course, always says, "Well, the solution to all of our problems is more money." Okay, well, you can certainly have more money if you weren't having to pay for lots of English as a second language courses too, right? Wouldn't that be fair to say?
That is a legit criticism. Yes, there would be more money if you didn't have all of these illegal aliens in the schools. And oftentimes, what I was getting at is these kids come from countries where the education system is not nearly the same as the United States. So, you know, say you have a eighth grader that comes from, Guatemala or Venezuela or Haiti. I can guarantee that the education programs in those countries aren't the same as in our country. And so you might have someone in a classroom who is deficient compared to American students of the same age.
So a lot of money and time then has to be spent. A lot of money, time, and labor has to be spent then to bring someone up to speed on the American way, so to speak, right? That kind of thing.
Totally. And if you're talking about, you know, education report cards, how schools are doing. Well, if you have, again, illegal aliens or children of illegal aliens, that's going to bring down the overall performance of a school if those kids aren't up to the same standards as the American children. So there's a whole host of problems.
Joey Chester is with me this morning. He's communications manager with Federation for American Immigration Reform, fairus.org. You know, Joey, what's you think about this particular topic that we're rolling into. Remember Tim Walz? Recall Tim Walz, the Democratic vice presidential nominee from Minnesota, was talking here not that long ago about, oh, man, you know, the government school systems here is just wonderful. Just so many languages, dozens and dozens and dozens and dozens of languages being spoken in the school. But he wasn't talking about it because they have all these language courses that people just wanted to take as electives. It's because we have all these people who can't speak the language, and they're having to spend all this money to get these kids educated in the English world. It's just an amazing cost.
It is. And Tim Walz, I mean, the guy is as radical as it comes with open borders. I mean, the guy has allowed illegal aliens to enroll in a health insurance program in the state. He's got free tuition programs for mm-hmm. illegal aliens in Minnesota. He wants Minnesota to be a sanctuary state. You've got driver's licenses for illegal aliens. I mean,
it's like everyone seems to be in favor there about Cloward Piven, overload the social welfare state, and everything's going to be okay. Does FAIR ever talk about that? I'm just kind of curious over at FAIR US. Do you ever get into it that it looks like a Cloward Piven type of operation in which you just overload the welfare system to bring it all down, man? Any thoughts on that, or do you stick away? You stay away from that. I don't know.
I think we stay away from that because we're such a single issue organization.
Yeah.
I mean, there are consequences, and you know, there are some times where I personally think about the motives for some of this. But you know, I think we just try to stick to what's happening and what the consequences are. But I mean, yeah, if you think about it, mass illegal immigration and the more that you bring in, the population grows. And the impact that it's going to have on the welfare system. And you have to ask yourself the question, well, where's the breaking point in all of this? When does it all come crashing down?
Yeah.
What's the population where it eventually just it cannot be sustained? I don't think we're on I know we're not on a sustainable track right now because the cost is so massive. But where is that breaking point where it all comes crumbling down?
I wanted to talk about this from a point of view of politics, if you don't mind. And I know at FAIR US, you don't get involved too much in the politics, but there may have a real-world result here. Let's take the hunt for, both presidential candidates, the mainstream presidential candidates, Joey, are trying to appeal to black voters right now. There's absolutely no doubt yeah. they're trying to grab that 13% of the population and try to lock them up for their particular candidate. And is there a case to be made that illegal immigration is affecting this particular population more than some others? Is there any evidence of that you're aware of at FAIR?
Yeah, absolutely. It is impacting black Americans because if you think about, for one, where a lot of these illegal aliens are ending up, they're ending up in places like Chicago, mm-hmm. New York City, and Boston. And these cities have significant black populations. And a lot of the times, these African-Americans are doing jobs in the city. They're working in the service industry. Obviously, not all of them. I'm not trying to draw any general conclusions about the population. But there's a significant portion that are doing these service jobs. And the illegal aliens that are coming in, most of them are being given work permits either through parole or they've applied for asylum. And so they're eligible for a work permit after a period of time. And you have these businesses that would much rather hire an illegal alien at a cheaper wage than they would pay an American to do it. Hmm. And again, a lot of these times the jobs, you know, these are jobs that an American would much rather do, but they want a higher wage to do it. Then the other issue I've seen that has been very concerning to the black community is the impact in schools. And you've seen in places like Chicago, you've seen schools that have been turned into migrant shelters, or you've seen a kid's sports field that have been turned into encampments for migrants, and sports haven't been able to play. So I think 100% it is impacting the black community in America, and they recognize that they haven't asked for this, and now they have been forced to compete with illegal aliens for jobs that they would love to have and to do, but they want that higher wage to do it, and illegal aliens are just being picked to do it because, you know, they will happily work for a lower wage because compared to their home country, you know, they're making good money.
I would imagine that a lot of this is affecting the trades, the construction trades. Would that be a FAIR assessment? Has to be affecting the construction trades a lot.
Yes, and I think it was J.D. Vance that was asked about this specifically. And he pointed out that, you know, if you remove the illegal alien population from construction, you know, Americans will then be able to do those jobs again. It is it is wrong. I think it is morally bankrupt to justify illegal immigration on economic grounds, which is oftentimes what we get. And the construction industry is a big one. It drives me crazy when you have people that say, well, we need them to build our homes. No, we don't. We have Americans out there. And actually, male labor force participation has been dropping for years and years. You have working age men out there who could do these jobs, but they need incentivized to come back into the workforce. And so you remove those illegal aliens and you bring wages up and you get them back in the workforce.
Final question I have for you, Joey. What is the actual level of immigration that the country actually truly needs in the Federation for American Immigration Reform's opinion, in the analysis, in the number? What is actually needed versus what we actually get, perhaps? Could you maybe give us put a little meat on that bone now?
Yes, absolutely. So the first thing I want to say is that immigration should be decided by the American people for America's needs.
Oh, you're trying to tell me that politicians in the U.S. Chamber of Commerce shouldn't be the deciders of all this?
Right.
Really? Okay.
Okay. And so the number that we have come up with, this is Sarah's official number, is 300,000 legal immigrants per year. And we believe that in historical times, that puts us in line and that meets the needs of America and the American people, because legal immigration is a whole problem in itself, where you have, as you know, big tech and big business, chamber of commerce types that would, you know, they're fine. They say, OK, yeah, we got to get a little illegal immigration.
Oh, yeah. Well, but still, they want
the number of legal immigrants.
Yeah. But they want the visas. They want the visas, what, the H-1, H-2B visas to come in, so that essentially Americans can train there. And a lot of those people are the engineers, right? It's the engineers. And yet they're telling the kids here, boy, you better go to school and get your STEM degree, you know, in there. But at the same time, you get out and then, oh, I'm very sorry, you actually wanted American wage to work at Facebook. That can't be allowed, you know, that kind of thing. Oh, my goodness.
Exactly.
All right.
So that's why we believe in bringing down that number and empowering the American people to be paid the wage that they deserve for these high-skilled jobs.
All right. So what do we get then? So if we have, you say, what, 350,000 legal per year, what do we actually get even right now in the current milieu?
It's over a million.
Wow.
Between, which is, the president has some discretion in the number of legal immigrants that come in. And so that number is over a million. And then if you add in illegal immigration on top of that, which is, you know, right now in the multiple millions per year, you're talking about just massive numbers. And a lot of these illegal aliens that have come in under Biden and Harris have been given similar privileges that a legal immigrant would be given, like work permits, for example.
Is that what happened over in Ohio? In Ohio, in the Haitian communities, is that what that was all about? Same sort of thing.
Yeah. So those Haitians are not these legal immigrants that the media is making them out to be. So they've either come in through parole, which does not give them legal status. They're considered lawful. Lawful and legal are not the same. And there's some that came in via temporary protective status, TPS, which the name is temporary, and they are temporarily being protected from deportation. You are not legal in the United States if you need protected from deportation. And so that's supposed to be for a temporary period of time. A lot of them came in illegally but were given TPS. The exact numbers in Ohio, I don't know. But these people are allowed to be here currently under this administration, but they are not legal immigrants, at least most of them.
Yeah, there's definitely a choice this time in the election cycle, no doubt about that. Joey, we appreciate the take on this. Fairus.org, F-A-I-R-U-S.org, one of the best organizations out there trying to fight for a sane immigration policy, and hopefully we get that more in the coming months and, you know, some return to sanity, okay? We appreciate the update, and also thanks for sharing the costs, the real cost in the state of Oregon, okay? You be well. Thank you.
Take care, Bill.
Joey Chester. It is 7 o'clock. This is KMED, KMED HD1 Eagle Point Medford, KBXG Grand.